Lucy. I've gone along with all the rest, but that...
Now, don't distress yourself, Father. They cannot compel you.
Oh, you're right, child. Let them say what they will.
What are they saying?
They say I'm not a true follower of the faith. Or that I care only for money. And the real reason I refuse to take any wives is because I begrudge the expense. The friendlier ones say I hold myself single in memory of a long-lost love who pined away on the shores of the Atlantic.
Oh, how romantic.
You sweet child.
Though the fair Lucy was no longer a child. I was a prospector in those days. Come to the city to raise capital to work some lodes I discovered. That day I met Lucy. I don't know, gentlemen. It was as if a whole new stretch of land had been opened up in front of my eyes that I never knew existed. And I was a strong-willed young man. Whatever I undertook, I was accustomed to success.
Lucy!
Jefferson!
Lucy, listen. I have to go away.
Go away?
Well, for a month. Two at the most.
2 months? No, you can't. I'll die.
You'll not die.
But...
But 2 months, the most. And then I'll come back. I'll ask you to be mine.
Oh, Jefferson.
But your father has given me his consent.
Well, of course. If you and Father have arranged it all between you, there's no more to be said.
So you will? Oh, look, the longer I stay, the harder it'll be to go. Goodbye. Bye, Lucy.
In 2 months, you'll see me.
Goodbye, my love.
Less than 2 months.
Oh, Jefferson.
Oh, if I'd known. If I'd had the smallest suspicion. Do you think I would have ridden away like that? Do you? Do you?
Easy. Here, drink this. Here. Slowly.
I think we should postpone this.
No. No, I must continue.
Doctor, what's your opinion?
I think we should carry on. But before we do...
What are you giving him?
I must have the name of that powder, Dr. Watson.
It's only a mild painkiller. Drink it down in one. Good.
Thank you, Doctor. All right. You have to understand that to hold any kind of unorthodox opinion was a dangerous matter among the Mormons. To fall foul of the elders was a terrible thing.
Close the door, if you please.
Yes, Brother Young. My daughter has gone to the city, but I could prepare some refreshments.
It is of your daughter that I wish to speak.
Lucy.
There are stories of her which I would fain disbelieve. Stories that she is sealed to some Gentile. What is the 13th rule in the code of the Sainted Joseph Smith? You claim to be a loyal member of the church, wise in its teachings. What is the 13th rule?
Let every maiden of the true faith marry one of the elect. For if she marry a Gentile, she commits a grievous sin.
Your daughter has found favor in the eyes of many who are high in the land. Stangerson has a son. Drebber has a son. They are young and rich and of the true faith. Let her choose between them.
You must give us time. Lucy is scarce of an age to marry.
We give you time. We give you 1 month.
A month?
At the end of 30 days, she shall make her choice. And if she will not, then I will do so for her. Good day to you, brother.
A month? I had been gone scarce 3 weeks. I discovered later that Ferrier sent a message after me the next day. It was that same day that he arrived home to find 2 young men in possession of his sitting room.
I guess you don't know us, brother. This here is Enoch, the son of Elder Drebber.
Greetings, brother.
And I'm Joseph Stangerson. I traveled with you when I was just a lad, when the Lord stretched out his hand and gathered you into the true fold.
As he will all the nations in his own good time. He grindeth slowly, but exceeding small.
Amen, Brother Drebber.
I'd guessed who you were.
Then you must surely know why we're here.
Oh, I know your purpose right enough.
As I have only 4 wives, and Brother Drebber here has 7, it appears to me that my claim is the stronger.
The question is not how many we have, but how many we can keep. I'm the richer man.
But my prospects are better. I'm your elder and higher in the church.
What say you, Brother Ferrier?
I say this. I don't want to see either of your faces again.
Are you aware what an honor it is to marry the son of an elder?
I'm aware that there are two ways out of this room. There's the door and there's the window. Which do you care to use?
You have defied the prophet and the holy four. You'll regret this to the end of your days.
I knew nothing at all of this. The power of the holy four stretched wider and deeper than John Ferrier could ever suspect. His message never reached me.
Good morning, Father. I was wondering if I might... What in the world is the matter?
Nothing, child. Wait for me in the sitting room.
What is that paper? What does it say? Show it to me, Father.
Here. I found it pinned to the bedclothes. It was there when I woke.
29 days. Oh, my God.
Next morning, they found the number 28 scrawled with a burnt stick in the very center of their ceiling. That night, Ferrier sat up with his gun. He saw nothing, heard nothing. Yet in the morning, a great 27 had been painted on the outside of their front door. And so it went on. 20 changed to 15, 15 to 10, 10 to 5. And still they waited in vain. For me. In fact, I was on my way back to them. My business over and done with. And not a care in my heart.
Oh boy! Drop your rifle!
Man said to drop your rifle.
Get off your horse.
He sure doesn't look much, does he, brother?
Look, if you're planning to...
Oh! That's enough, Drebber.
Drebber? I'll remember that name. If you're planning to rob me, get on with it.
Oh, we're planning to rob you, all right. Leastways, one of us is. But not yet. In 4 days' time.
What do you mean? 4 days.
Jefferson Hope.
You know me. What is this?
Keep your filthy heathen hands off the Ferrier girl. Lucy.
Yeah. She's meant for better than you, Hope. Me, for instance. Or my friend here. Pretty soon that trim little body's gonna be cuddling up to one of us.
You bastard!
You will show respect to us. I am Joseph Stangerson, first son of Elder Stangerson. When you speak to me, you speak to the prophet himself.
Stangerson? Drebber and Stangerson. That for your prophet!
And I hoped you were going to be reasonable. Teach him how to be reasonable, Brother Drebber.
Oh, my pleasure, Brother Stangerson.
Oh! Oh!
They left me for dead. By the time they'd finished with me, I wasn't far off it. But the thought of one of them, with my Lucy.
What?
Who's there? I warn you, I'm armed.
Quiet! For the love of heaven!
Good God, you nearly have my gun in your face.
For pity's sake, get me inside. They're all around the house.
The devil they are. Here. Take my arm. Give me something to drink. Oh, my God. Oh. Yeah. Oh, God, it's good. John, is Lucy all right?
Jefferson! Oh. Who did this to you?
Drebber. Stangerson, I've got to get both of you away. Tonight.
I can be dressed in a moment. What should we take?
Food. And as much water as we can manage.
I'll see to that. Hurry, buddy.
John?
What is it, son?
This house, the farm. Everything you worked for.
What's that to me? Give me a hand with the food.
The watchers were concentrating on the front and the rear of the house. We climbed out the side window while the moon was hidden by the clouds. And we made it safely to the edge of the cornfield.
Oh, thank God. We've done it.
Down.
They're everywhere.
Not a sound. Nine to seven.
Seven to five.
What news?
If the girl remains stubborn, we strike tomorrow at midnight. The prophet's orders. Then there'll be some fun.
All right, brother. I'll tell the others.
Is it safe to move on?
We must. Everything depends on speed.
I had three horses waiting. All night we kept moving. All next day. Most of next. By then our food was gone. I wasn't worried, though. There was game aplenty in the mountains. We were high up above sea level. The air was bitter.
Let me go.
No. No, you rest while you can. I'll not be long.
Be back before full dark.
Depend on it. We'll have a quick meal and move on. This time tomorrow, we'll be in Carson City. And safe.
I had to tramp a couple of miles or more before I had any luck with my rifle. The last of the light was dying by the time I got back.
Hello? Lucy? John? We'll feast tonight!
Oh, sweet Jesus. Lucy? Lucy!
I found John Ferrier at the edge of the clearing. He'd been beaten like an animal and shot. Lucy wasn't there.
Were you able to build up any picture of what happened?
Not until next morning. I saw the tracks. A lot of men on horseback. They'd come up behind us along the path. And they'd turned back towards Salt Lake City. They'd taken our horses. But I set off after them.
How long did it take you?
6 days. By the time I reached the city, I must have looked a wild sight. I stayed in the shadows. The streets were hung with flags. They were celebrating the marriage of an elder son. All I heard was talk about the great rivalry between these two fine young men. On the very day I got there, the prophet had given my Lucy to Enoch Drebber.
What did you do?
I went back into the mountains. I suppose I must have lost my senses for a time. When I came to myself, I returned to the city. I knew what I'd find there. I knew she was dead. Dead of grief and shame. Some of Drebber's other wives were keeping vigil over her body. I took his ring from her finger. I'd not have her buried in Drebber's ring. And I vowed I'd not rest till I'd made them pay for what they'd done to my love. The rest is easily told. There was a great split among the chosen people. Many gave up the faith, Drebber, Stangerson among them. John Ferrier's fortune had made Drebber a rich man. But for some reason, he and Stangerson stuck to each other's company and set off to travel together. They were rich and I was poor, but I dogged them. I followed them across two continents. Sometimes I nearly caught up with them. And at times I lost the trail for long stretches. But always, I kept going. Always.
Just how long has this business been going on?
20 years. 20 years. And eventually I tracked them here, London.
Where you obtained employment as a cab driver?
Wherever they went, I was always at their heels. At first I planned to surprise them. I reckon they thought I was dead years before. But they somehow got wind of me. They were cunning.
Never went out alone. Hardly ever after nightfall. And I thought it was all up. I knew I had no chance against the two of them together if they were on guard.
But they got careless. Drebber had taken to drink.
It wasn't only the drink. In the end, it was a woman that did for him. I liked that. It was fitting. I'd sat in my cab and watched when the two of them were thrown out of that boarding house. I knew why. And I sat and watched again when Drebber went back after that pretty face and her brother lashed into him in the street. And I tell you, I enjoyed that. I waited till the boy had finished with him. And I drove up to where Drebber was lying in the gutter.
Charpentier's cab. I didn't believe him.
Now, Drebber didn't recognize me. He was practically out on his feet from drink and the thrashing he'd had. And he asked me to take him to his hotel.
But you didn't. You took him to an empty house in the Brixton Road.
I'd found it weeks before. I knew I could get inside easy enough when the time came. And I had him on his own. At last.
This is my hotel. Cabby, it's damn dark here.
Now, Enoch Drebber. Huh? Who am I?
What? What do you mean? Who are you? I don't know you. I've never seen...
I'd always known that vengeance would be sweet, gentlemen. But I'd never hoped for the contentment of soul that I felt at that moment. It was like madness. The pulses in my temples beat like sledgehammers. And I believe I'd have had some sort of fit if the blood hadn't gushed from my nose. And believe me.
Keep away from me, Hope. You're insane.
Look at this ring, Drebber. This is the ring that killed Lucy Ferrier when you forced it on her finger and dragged her off to your shameless harem.
No.
Now look at it! It'll be the last thing you ever do look at!
Would you murder me?
I'm no murderer. We'll let the high God judge between us. There are two pills in this box. Choose and eat.
No.
There's death in one and life in the other. No. I'll take what you leave.
No.
Choose!
No!
Choose! Let's see if there's justice on the earth or if we're ruled by chance. Now choose! By God, I will murder you where you stand! Very well. It's done. Now this one's for me.
I've beaten you, Jefferson Hope. Justice on earth. I'll watch you die like the stinking rat you are.
That's how Enoch Drebber came to his end. Blood was still streaming from my nose, but I felt light-hearted, mischievous. I wrote up Rock on the wall and lit a cigar, and I looked at him for a spell. And then I got out.
When did you discover that you'd lost the ring?
That ring was all I had of my Lucy. I had to have it back. I hadn't gone far. I left the cab on a side street. I walked up to the house, straight into one of your constables.
PC John Rance, I fear he will not rise in the force. You pretended to be drunk.
He paid me no heed. All I could think of was that I'd lost Lucy's ring. And I saw your advertisement, evening paper.
Ah, yes. Who was your accomplice who visited Baker Street?
Accomplice? What's this, Mr. Holmes?
Why haven't you mentioned this before?
The zeal of the official force, eh, Watson? And this is not relevant to your inquiries, Gregson. I'll wager the man had nothing to do with the killings.
Nothing? Nothing, I swear it. Now, Mr. Holmes, I can tell you my secrets, but I don't get other people into trouble. But I think you'll own he did it smartly.
Not a doubt of that.
Let's get back to the matter in hand here. Joseph Stangerson wasn't poisoned. He was stabbed to the heart.
He begged me for his life. Cried like a woman. Told me I had no quarrel with him. He hadn't touched the girl. Only killed her father. He wouldn't take his chance with the pills. He went for my throat. It was self-defense. The outcome would have been the same in any case. The Providence would never have allowed his guilty hand to pick out anything but the poison. And that's the whole of my story. You may consider me to be a murderer, but I say I'm just as much an officer of justice as you are.
I still find it hard to believe. If someone had said to me 2 weeks ago that I was going to find myself caught up in a murder investigation, what an extraordinary affair.
Thank you, Doctor. Yes, it's even more extraordinary than you know. Mm-hmm. Look at this. It's from Gregson, arrived just before dinner.
Good Lord. That's incredible. He must have died while we were actually on the way back here.
He hung on to life until his story was told.
Power of the mind. Amazing.
Making his statement was as important to him as exacting his revenge.
You really think so?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, what other reason could he have had for giving himself up?
What did you say?
Oh, Watson, think. Wiggins led Hope to the very same rooms where, not 12 hours before, his accomplice had been given a patently false wedding ring. He must have known it was a trap.
But he fought like a cornered tiger.
Oh, what a picturesque vocabulary you do possess. Well, perhaps it was bravado. Perhaps his nerve failed him at the last. I don't know. But you recall what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Almost as soon as we reached the yard.
Yes, yes. Wait a moment. Here. I knew I'd made a note of it. I don't care how soon I go, but I should like to leave an account of this affair behind me. I don't want to be remembered as a common cutthroat.
I don't want to be remembered as a common cutthroat. He came here knowing he would almost certainly be arrested because he desperately wanted his story on record. All that. 20 years. For a woman.
Holmes?
Gregson and Lestrade will be furious at his death. Where will their grand advertisement be now? Huh? I wouldn't have missed this business for anything.
What was it you called it? A study in scarlet.
Yes, I must have been in one of my more lurid moods.
I'm enormously grateful to you for allowing me to be in on it.
Well, I only hope it hasn't placed too great a strain on your health.
By no means. I feel better this evening than I have for months.
Well, I'm delighted to hear it. A helping of the bizarre is always invigorating, I think.
I meant what I said, you know. You really have made an exact science out of detective work. Compared to you, Gregson and Lestrade are like blind men. Your merits should be publicly recognized. You ought to publish an account of the whole affair.
If you won't, I'll do it for you.
Huh? I'd no idea you went in for writing. You know, I thought your literary activities were confined to compiling lists of my shortcomings.
Please, let's not go through that again. I didn't know you then.
And now you do.
Come on. A study in scarlet. Make a marvellous story. It has adventure, suspense, romance, everything. Well, what do you say?
I say, come in, Mrs. Hudson.
The evening papers, gentlemen. Special late edition.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Throw them down somewhere.
I shall do no such thing. There you are. Nice and tidy. Good evening, Mr. Holmes. Dr. Watson.
Oh. You shouldn't tease her. She's a good woman.
She's a good woman.
I was once introduced to a woman universally praised for her charity work amongst the poor. She subsequently proved to have dispatched three wealthy husbands by methods I will not relate so soon after your consumption of Mrs. Hudson's baked apple dumplings.
I'm most grateful. Look, what were you about to say? Holmes, what's wrong?
Listen to this. The public have lost a sensational treat through the sudden death of the suspected murderer, Jefferson Hope.
That news got out quickly.
Gregson and Lestrade, I might have known they'd find a way to transmute their failure into success and their mediocrity into genius. They couldn't wait to parade themselves before their adoring public and soak up its applause.
Oh, now, come on.
It is an open secret that the credit for the capture of this vicious and dangerous criminal belongs entirely to the well-known Scotland Yard officials, Messrs. Lestrade and Gregson. The man was apprehended.
Well?
Yeah. Read it for yourself.
The man was apprehended in the rooms of a certain Mr. Sherlock Holmes. Who, under their instruction, has himself shown some small talent as an amateur detective. Under their instruction.
Keep reading.
With such teachers, Mr. Holmes may well hope, in the fullness of time, to attain some degree of their skill and professional expertise.
Didn't I tell you so before we started?
This is outrageous.
I'm going to bed.
This whole report is a downright tissue of lies. I've a good mind to go straight round to Fleet Street and demand that they publish a retraction when they've heard my version of the facts.
Watson?
Yes?
Why don't you put these newfound energies to more productive use?
I beg your pardon?
Write your book, Doctor. Write your book.
That was part two of A Study in Scarlet by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatized in two parts by Bert Cools, with Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. Jefferson Hope was played by Shane Rimmer, Joseph Stangerson by Matt Zimmerman, Enoch Drebber by Ed Bishop, Inspector Lestrade by Donald Gee, and Inspector Gregson by John Moffat. Peter Carlyle played Brigham Young, Alice Arnold, Lucy, Christopher Good, John Ferrier, Alan Dean, Wiggins, Anna Cropper, Mrs. Hudson, Marcia King, Madame Charpentier, Jane Slavin, Alice, and John Bull, Stangerson Sr. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Alexander Balanescu. A Study in Scarlet was directed by Ian Cottrell and produced by David Johnston. The Sign of the Four by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatized in two parts by Bert Cools, with Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. The Sign of the Four, Part Two, The Great Agra Treasure.
Miss Mary Morstan was at the center of a wild and dark adventure. The tale of a fabulous Indian treasure that had passed from hand to hand, leaving only death and misery in its wake. $250,000 in gold and jewels was rightfully hers, but the treasure chest was stolen and its last owner horribly murdered. Holmes and I were on the track of as curious a pair of villains as we'd ever encountered, and the thrill of the chase should have been in my heart, but my heart and my mind were elsewhere. My sympathies and my love had gone out to her. Yet, if the treasure were recovered, Mary Morstan would be a rich woman. And what right had a half-pay surgeon to look at an heiress? Such were my gloomy thoughts as I pursued my errand for Sherlock Holmes in the quiet, early morning streets of London.
Hello? Hello?
Go on, Gillard, you drunken vagabond.
Mr. Sherman?
So help me gracious, I've got a wiper in this bag. A poisonous wiper.
It's a dog I've come about.
Go on, or I'll drop the wiper on your head.
All I want...
I won't be argued with. When I say three, down comes the wiper. One...
If you'll just listen for a moment...
Two... Terrible fangs he's got.
I've come from Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, what? Well, why the devil didn't you say so?
Yes, why the devil didn't I say so?
A friend of Mr. Sherlock is always welcome, sir. Now, quiet, Alexander. Step in, sir, step in, step in.
Thank you.
That's it. Oh, oh, no. Keep clear of the badger, sir. He bites.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, sir. That was one of the stoats. Yeah. Naughty, naughty. Would you take a nip at the gentleman? Here. Oh, mind where you're stepping, if you please.
Yeah. Why?
Course of the slow worm, sir.
Slow worm?
Yes. Yeah, oh, no, it's all right, he's gone. Yeah, you can put your foot down now.
Oh. I've come from...
You've come from Mr. Sherlock.
Yes, that's right.
And what was it that Mr. Sherlock wanted, sir?
A dog of yours.
Ah, yes, that'd be Toby.
Hello, Toby. Toby has the finest nose in London. Haven't you, boy? Yes.
Is Inspector Jones still here?
No. The official force have departed, save for one constable. Jones arrested not only friend Thaddeus, but also the housekeeper, the gatekeeper, and the Indian servant.
What about your description of the two men?
Well, the worthy inspector regards me as a more fanciful spinner of fictions even than you.
Well, Mr. Theorist, you can go off in search of your one-legged man and his accomplice. I've got the murderer right here. You see, if I haven't.
And off the whole caravan went. Now, are you game for a trudge?
Certainly.
Your leg will stand it.
Oh, yes.
Good man, good man. Toby, smell this, Toby. Oh, smell it.
Creosote.
From the broken jar at the site of the murder. Our diminutive friend with the pleasant habits left tar-stained footprints all across the roof. Yes, but enough should have stayed on his foot for Toby to track him for us. Come on, doggy. Now, that's where he came down. Oh, what did I tell you? Good boy. Come on, Watson. We've got them.
Holmes, will you really be able to follow their trail? After all this time?
Never doubt him, Watson. Go on, Toby. You see, not a falter.
It's incredible.
This trail makes it all too easy. It takes away any credit that might have been gained out of the case.
There is credit, and to spare.
Well, then most of it should go to Toby.
I think Toby's just lost his reputation for infallibility.
Well, you can't deny he's traced some creosote.
About 2 dozen barrels of the stuff. A sawmill.
Good dog. Well, he's acted according to his lights. Well, if you consider how much creosote is carted about London in one day, it's no great wonder that our trail should have been crossed. Poor Toby's not to blame.
Back at the corner of Knight's Place, where he hesitated.
Yes, that must be where he took the wrong path. Well, it should be easy enough to pick up the right one.
It'll probably take us straight to wherever these barrels come from.
Now, really, Watson, you'll offend him. Go on, boy! We're out of luck. Trail leads down to the water's edge, then stops. They've taken a boat from here. Oh, damn!
You're sure this is the correct trail?
Oh, yes. Didn't you notice how it kept on the pavement this time? Oh, this is it, all right.
Mordecai Smith. Boats to hire. Ramshackle sort of place.
Steam launch available. Yes, this begins to look bad. Well, these fellows are sharper than I expected. I'm afraid there's been preconcerted management here.
Shall we ask if anyone remembers seeing them?
Always the subtle approach. Hey, Watson?
Oh, what do you suggest we do?
Jack! Where are you? You come here and be washed, you little throat.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. What might you be wanting?
I hope to speak to Mr. Smith.
My man's not here, sir. But if it was about a boat, maybe I could serve as well.
I wanted to hire his steam launch.
Oh, why, bless you. It's in the steam launch that has gone off on some rush job in the middle of the night. But he can't have gone far, for there's not enough coal aboard to take him much past Woolwich and back.
I particularly wanted the steam launch. I've heard good reports of her. What is it?
The Aurora, sir.
That's it. The old green launch, very broad in the beam.
No, indeed. She's as trim a little thing as you'll see on the river. Fresh painted, too. Black, with two red streaks.
I'll inquire again for Mr. Smith. Sounds like just the boat for me.
Will you be wanting her soon, sir?
Fairly soon.
Only someone else was asking after her a couple of days since. But not a gentleman like yourself. A nasty piece of work, if you ask me. Ugly face and outlandish talk. Oh, if they turn me up. I never could abide a peg leg.
My heaven, Holmes.
It's the unofficial force. The Baker Street Irregulars.
I tell you, you can't go in.
It's all right, Mrs. Hudson. They're my guests.
Mr. Holmes, how many times do I have to ask you?
Wiggins.
Attention!
Thank you.
This used to be a respectable house.
I got your message, sir, and I brought them on sharp.
Yeah, so I see.
Three bob and a tanner for tickets.
Here you are.
Silence, sir.
Wiggins will sort it out later. Now, you're to look for the steam launch Aurora. Black with two red streaks, very trim, owner Mordecai Smith. He's along the river somewhere. Now let me know the moment you've news. Is that clear?
The Aurora. Yes, Governor. Everyone got that?
The usual scale of pay and a guinea to the one who finds the boat. Here's a day in advance. Now, off you go.
Oh, God. Off you go. Well, come on. You won't know your money's name in here. Get moving.
If the launch is above water, they'll find her. I expect to hear something by this evening. There's no more we can do till then.
Oh, Toby could eat those scraps, I dare say.
Yes, if Mrs. Hudson hasn't already fed him to overflowing.
I think I'll get some sleep. Are you going to bed?
No, I'm not tired. I have a curious constitution. I never remember feeling tired by work. You know, it's idleness that exhausts me completely.
So what will you do?
Well, I'm going to smoke and think over this queer business. You know, this hunt ought to be an easy task.
I suppose wooden-legged men are not so common.
And the other man must, I think, be absolutely unique. Now, where would it be? Which one?
Tiny footmarks, naked feet, great agility, poisoned darts. A savage. But here in London?
Yes, evidently. And his point of origin is of some relevance. Ah, yes, here it is. The Aborigines of the Andaman Islands.
Austin and Sholto's posting.
May perhaps claim the distinction of being the smallest race upon this earth. They're a fierce, morose, and intractable people, though capable of forming most devoted friendships when their confidence has been gained. Mark that, Watson.
Is there any more?
Oh, yes. They have always been a terror to shipwrecked crews, braining the survivors with their stone-headed clubs or shooting them with poisoned darts. These massacres are invariably concluded by a cannibal feast. Nice, amiable people.
Mary? What is it, Mrs. Forrester? What's wrong?
I'm worried about you, my dear.
About me? There's no need.
Are you sure you're all right? After all you went through yesterday?
I'm perfectly all right. I'm a little tired, that's all.
Yes, so am I.
It was kind of you to wait up for me.
Oh, that letter was so intriguing. I had to find out what happened. But in my wildest dreams, I never expected such a tale.
No, nor I.
What will happen next, I wonder?
Dr. Watson promised that he would let me know as soon as he had some news.
Ah, so we can expect another visit from that young man. I rather thought we might.
Mrs. Forrester.
This time, Mary, do try to get him into the house. I want to see what he's like.
What do you mean you can't find it?
It ain't there.
It has to be there.
I'm sorry, Governor.
No, I'm sorry, Wiggins. Keep up the search. Call back here any hour.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we must find her, Wiggins.
We will, Miss Rums. Don't worry. Bye.
Goodbye. Oh. Holmes? They can't find the launch.
Can I do anything? I'm perfectly fresh now. I've had some sleep.
No, we can only wait. I shall stay here in case of developments.
I shall run over to Camberwell before dinner and call upon Mrs. Forrester.
Mrs. Forrester?
Well, on Miss Morstan, too.
Ah, yes.
She'll be anxious to hear what's happened.
Well, I wouldn't tell her much. Women are never to be entirely trusted, not the best of them.
That is an atrocious sentiment, and I've no intention of pausing to argue it with
you. I assure you that the most winning woman I ever knew was hanged for poisoning her 3 little children for their insurance money.
I hardly think that's relevant in this case.
I never make exceptions. An exception disproves the rule.
Oh, you're impossible sometimes.
Yes, I know. If you're crossing the river, you may as well return Toby. Not if he can still walk after Mrs. Hudson's attentions.
Very well.
And Watson!
Yes?
Good luck.
I held up the lantern, and there, in the dust, I could see them. The footprints of the second intruder. They were tiny.
Tiny?
Like a child's. But this was no child.
Then what in the world?
A pygmy. A cannibal pygmy.
Great heavens! I should have fainted clean away.
There are pygmies on the Andaman Islands. My father used to speak of them.
Yes, that's where we think he's from. And the other man, too.
The man with the wooden leg?
Holmes and I believe him to be Jonathan Small, whose name appears on that old document of Captain Morstan's.
And now you have to find the two of them.
Yes, for the moment they've given us the slip. But we know that they're planning to get away by boat, the Aurora.
Oh, you're so clever to have worked all this out.
It's not me, it's Holmes.
I'm sure you are underestimating yourself, Dr. Watson. No, really, I mean it.
You're very kind.
So much depends on this search, Mary. Your fortune. I don't think you're nearly excited enough. Just imagine what it must be like to be so rich and have the world at your feet.
It is for Mr. Thaddeus Sholto that I am most anxious. He has behaved so kindly and so honourably. Dr. Watson, you and Mr. Holmes must clear him of this dreadful charge.
We shall, never fear.
Do you know it's like a romance? A wronged lady, a treasure, a black cannibal and a wooden-legged villain,
and 2 knights errant to the rescue.
Ah, good evening, Mrs. Hudson.
Good evening, Doctor.
Oh, dear. No callers?
Not a one, sir.
No news, then?
No. And to speak truthfully, Doctor, I'm afraid for his health. He's been acting very strange.
In what way?
Walking up and down, never stopping. Then talking to himself and shouting away like nobody's business. Now he's slammed off to his room.
We've seen him like this before, Mrs. Hudson.
Just so long as he's not going to be ill again. I couldn't stand that, you know.
I know. But I don't think he need worry. Not so long as he's involved in a case. And he knows my views on the subject now, too.
Well, I pray God you're right. To be plain with you, Doctor, I don't think he realises how lucky he is having you here to look after him.
Oh, Mrs. Hudson.
Yes. Well, have you had your dinner, sir?
No, I haven't. What about Mr. Holmes?
I asked him what he wanted. To be left alone, he said, and not bothered with inessentials. Inessentials, indeed. I'll have something ready for you in about 20 minutes, Doctor. Well, I don't suppose we'll see Mr. Holmes again before breakfast.
Good morning.
Yeah.
What the devil are you looking for?
My clay pipe.
Isn't it behind the clock, as usual?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Ah!
The coal scuttle.
Yes, your powers of observation never cease to amaze me.
I heard you marching about in the night.
Yes, this infernal business is consuming me.
You're locking yourself up, old man. Did you get any sleep at all?
It's too much to be balked by so petty an obstacle when we've come so far. Another man, a launch, everything, and yet I can get no news.
Have some coffee.
No, no, thank you.
Is it possible that we've missed them? That they've already flown?
No, no. They're still here.
How can you be so sure?
They're still here. But it will be soon, Watson.
Oh, yeah.
Soon. I'm going out.
Oh, at least have something to eat first.
Later. Now, I want you to open all notes and telegrams and to act on your own judgment if any news should come. Now, can I rely on you?
Of course you can.
Yes. Oh, good. I don't know when I'll be back. It's a neat little craft.
Aye, she is that right enough.
Hey, never had her like when I was on the river.
Yeah, she's a pretty turn of speed, I dare say.
What's she in for then?
Well, repair to her rudder.
Ah, looks all ship-shape to me.
Me too. There ain't nought amiss with her rudder nor anything else. Waste of my time.
Son!
And here's the cause of it.
Hear me, Jacobson!
They can hear you in Greenwich, Smith.
She's is she?
Look at him. Don't deserve a craft like this.
Yeah, criminal.
Will she be ready?
She's ready now, Smith. She's been ready these 2 days.
I don't want her now. 8 o'clock tonight, Jacobson, and sharp mind of a gentleman who won't be kept waiting.
Mrs. Forrester stared at her. Why, Mary, think of your fortune. Just imagine what it must be like to be so rich and have the world at your feet. It sent a thrill of joy to my heart to notice that she showed no sign of elation at the prospect. On the contrary, she gave a toss of her head as though the matter were one in which she took small interest. Ah, good. Hello? Who's that?
Sorry, sir. Mr. Holmes is out.
Well, do you know what time he'll be back?
I'm afraid not, sir.
Inspector! Good afternoon. It's all right, Mrs. Hudson. I know the gentleman. Come up.
Why, thank you, Doctor. No, no, it's all right, madam. I believe I can find a way unaided. I am a detective. Good day, sir. Good day. Oh. Mr. Sherlock Holmes is out, I understand.
Yes, and I can't be sure when he'll be back. But perhaps you care to wait. Come in.
Well, thank you.
Take that chair. Try one of these cigars.
Thank you. I don't mind if I do.
And a whiskey and water?
Well, half a glass. It is very hot for the time of year, and I've had a good deal to worry and try me. You know my theory about this Norwood case.
I remember that you expressed one.
Well, I've been obliged to reconsider it.
So, you no longer believe Thaddeus Sholto murdered his brother?
No, thank you, Doctor. No, no, I don't. I had my net drawn tightly round him when pop, he went through a hole in the middle.
He had an alibi.
Oh, an unshakable one. From the time that he left his brother's room, he was never once out of sight of someone or other. I've had to let him go.
Good. Frankly, Inspector,
I don't understand how you could ever have suspected him in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
The thought of Thaddeus Sholto climbing over the roof and through that skylight...
Well, he's been eliminated now. And the old housekeeper, too. It's a very dark case. And to be candid with you, I should be glad of a little assistance. My professional credit is at stake.
Well, we all need help sometimes. It's only a fool who's too proud to admit the fact.
Very true, sir, very true. And your friend, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, is a wonderful man. He's a man who is not to be beat. Bit too quick in jumping to theories, perhaps.
What the devil? Good Lord.
What do you mean by this intrusion, my man?
Is one of you two Holmes?
It's Mr. Holmes to the likes of you.
Ah, not you. You don't look nothing like a detective. Are you him? Huh? Will?
What exactly is the meaning of this?
Ah, you'll find out. Ah, come on, are you Holmes?
No, I'm acting for him. You can give me any message. Quickly now.
I know where the boat is. And the treasure and all.
You know where the treasure is?
I'm not talking to you.
Now, see here, my good man. I suggest you keep a civil tongue in your head. This is Inspector Athelney Jones of Scotland Yard.
Never heard of him. I'll wait for Holmes. All right with you, whoever you are.
Very well. No more of your rudeness. Do you understand? You can sit quietly in that corner.
Yeah.
Well, they say at the Yard that Mr. Holmes gets a lot of his information from the lowest areas of society. So it's true then, is it, Doctor? I understand. We all have our professional secrets. Still, however irregular he may be in his methods, I think he would have made a most promising police officer. And I don't care who knows it.
A policeman? Am I supposed to be flattered?
Eh? You rogue! You would have made an actor and a rare one. You had the proper workhouse cough. And those weak legs of yours are worth £10 a week. And you, I thought I knew the glint in your eye.
But why are you done up like that?
The men who work on the river are a tight-lipped band. Oh, and they'll speak freely enough to one of their own.
Then you really have found the boat.
Yeah. Now listen, Jones.
Yes?
I can give you your murderers, but it must be on my terms.
What do you mean?
Now, firstly, you're welcome to all the official credit, but you must put yourself and your men entirely under my orders. Is that agreed?
If you can help me to the men,
then... I've just said that I can.
Then I agree.
Secondly, when we secure the men, we shall get the treasure. The box must not be touched until the doctor here has fetched the young lady to whom half of it rightfully belongs.
Holmes.
She must be the first to open it. Hey, Watson?
It would be a great pleasure to me.
Now, that's an extremely irregular proceeding.
Well, if you'd rather continue on your own...
Well, the whole thing is irregular. But afterwards, the treasure must be handed over to the authorities until the official investigation is concluded.
Certainly, that's easily managed.
And I agree. Now, how exactly do we proceed?
Thirdly...
Mr. Holmes...
Thirdly, I should like to hear the remaining details about this matter from the lips of Jonathan Small himself. Here. In my rooms.
I have had no proof yet of the existence of this Jonathan Small. However, if you can catch him, I don't see how I can refuse you.
Excellent.
Are there any other conditions?
Not at the moment. Now, this is what I need.
This is the fastest police launch on the river.
Is there anything to mark it as a police boat?
Constable?
Yes, sir. The green lamp at the stern.
Then take it off.
Well, go on, man.
Yes, Inspector.
That's better. Are you sure this is the fastest craft available?
Well, so I'm assured. You didn't give me much in the way of notice.
We shall have to catch the Aurora. She's the name for being a clipper.
Where did you find her in the end? A boat isn't the easiest thing to conceal.
Ah, I was a fool not to have thought of it earlier. Think, Watson. She had to be out of sight but ready for departure with a minimum of preparation.
Are boat builders or repairers? They have sheds and huts which open onto the water.
Yes, exactly.
Well, simple.
It's the simple things which are extremely likely to be overlooked.
How long did it take you to find the right one?
Well, Jacobson's was the 16th repair yard I tried.
There was the Aurora, and there was her owner, too. Rather the worse for liquor. He obligingly provided me with Small's departure time. 8 o'clock tonight.
It'll be full dark by then.
Yes, but it's a clear night. We should be able to see easily.
How powerful is that searchlight?
Powerful enough.
Yes, we're coming to Jacobson's yard. Did you bring the night glasses, Watson?
Here.
Thank you.
What can you make out?
I have a boy stationed at the water's edge. He'll signal us when they arrive.
Well, you've planned it all very neatly, whether they are the right men or not. But if the affair were in my hands, I should have had a body of officers in that yard and arrested them when they came down.
Which would have been never. This man Small is a pretty shrewd fella. One whiff of the official force and he'd have flown.
What's that?
Oh, it's the signal!
So, they're in the yard?
Not no longer. There's the Aurora.
Already underway.
And going like the devil.
Engineer, full speed ahead.
She's flying along.
More speed. My heaven, I'll never forgive myself if she has the heels of us.
I doubt if we'll catch her.
We must catch her.
Keep it on, Stokers.
If we burn the boat, we must have them.
I think we're gaining a little.
I'm sorry. Jones, get a man on that searchlight.
No, no. I'll do it myself.
Keep the light steady, Jones. There he is. The one-legged man.
Jonathan Small.
You're still making ground on them. Is that a dog he's got there?
That's no dog. Watson, use these.
By God!
What? What the devil is it?
Can't we go any faster? More steam!
Stop! In the Queen's name! This is a police vessel!
They heard you!
He's burned down, Bethyway!
Do you still think that's a dog, Jones?
Give me those glasses.
Have your gun ready, Watson.
Look at that! And to think I didn't believe you, Mr. Holmes.
There's no time for that now. What's going on there?
It's Small is huddled over something. It looks like a box.
A treasure chest? Yes, it must be. What's he doing?
Never mind him. Then what of the creature?
He's standing up.
He's got some kind of pipe.
Fire, Watson!
You got the little savage!
Small! Give yourself up!
Never!
Now what's he doing?
He's trying to take the rudder.
They're fighting for control of the boat.
Stop! In the name of the law!
She's turning!
We're going to wrap her!
Oh, stop! By God, she's going aground!
There goes Small! Pull into the bank! Let's get after him!
But there's no hurry.
He's got the treasure!
I can't make it across the mud. Let him wear himself out. Now there.
Damn you! Damn you to hell!
I wish I'd been there.
It was very dangerous and not pleasant.
No, of course not. I'm very glad that you weren't hurt.
Thank you.
So, the treasure has truly been recovered at last.
Yes. The great Agra treasure, Small called it.
I'm amazed that the police allowed it to be taken to your rooms.
Holmes is a very persuasive man.
I can imagine.
Think, Miss Morstan. Half of that treasure is yours. Hundreds of thousands of pounds. Isn't it wonderful?
If I have it, I owe it to you.
No, not to me. To Sherlock Holmes.
To both of you. You have been so kind to me, and I have placed you in such horrible peril. I am so sorry.
Oh, that's all over now. Miss Morstan?
Yes?
When we get to Baker Street, Jonathan Small will be there. He'll be under guard, of course, but even so...
Dr. Watson, you're very kind to be concerned, but I shall have my knight's errand to protect me. How could I be afraid?
Greetings, Miss Morstan. Ah, Watson.